Hello, everybody. This is Buck with the RubberChickensBlog.com, and welcome to Buckshots. We are getting ready to cover our 10th year in our countdown to the 2013 South Carolina football season. Today, we're going to take a look at the year 1996. This was Brad Scott's third year at the helm for the Gamecocks. We were coming off a disappointing 4-6-1 season. Steve Tannehill's final year, senior year, so he was gone. And heading into the season, we were really excited because we had a new starting quarterback, a guy named Anthony Wright. And looking back, I thought this was Anthony Wright's redshirt freshman season, but actually he did play some in 95. I didn't recall that, but he played a little bit. So this was his sophomore year. I got to tell you, when Marty Simpson was on the show, we talked about Bobby Fuller being the most underrated quarterback in South Carolina history. And Anthony Wright might be the least appreciated in South Carolina history. I don't know what term you would use for Anthony Wright, but when you talk about the greatest quarterbacks in South Carolina history, he's got to be in the conversation if you consider his entire career, because he had a decent career at South Carolina, not spectacular. But he went on to play 6 seasons in the NFL and got some significant playing time for Baltimore in a couple of those years. I think around 2003, 2005 were the 2 years he played a good bit. So, you know, as far as translating into the NFL, Anthony Wright was, among the best in South Carolina history, if not the best in South Carolina history. I don't know. I know Todd Ellis never played a snap, and Steve Tannehill never played a snap in the NFL. So I'm not sure. Going back in history, maybe somebody could clue me in on any other quarterbacks who have played in the NFL that were South Carolina players. But coming out of high school, Anthony Wright was highly recruited. He was the number 7 quarterback in the country, number 2 player out of the state of North Carolina. And he was people were excited because he was compared a lot to because Brad Scott was the head coach. Brad Scott had coached Charlie Ward. So there was a lot of talk of Anthony Wright being like a Charlie Ward, because Wright had some wheels on him. And he had just a cannon for an arm. And he was kind of like a baby deer out there for a little while, just learning his way around the football field. But he had some great moments for South Carolina, as we'll see. So we opened the season in 96 with Central Florida. We actually opened the season 2 years in a row, 95 and 96 with Central Florida. Central Florida had a guy named Dante Culpepper at quarterback. Maybe you've heard of him. Played a lot of years in the NFL, mostly with Minnesota. We handled him pretty easily in 96, beat him 33-14. Wouldn't have quite as easy a time with them in 97, but we'll get to that, and we'll get to that next year. Second game of the season, Georgia comes into town. Georgia is still coached by Ray Goff. You know, anytime you beat Georgia, it's a good win, and it's a pleasant day to beat Georgia. But Georgia in the 90s was going through some doldrums with Ray Goff as the head coach, and were in this perpetual 7-8 win season type of mode. I think they even had a 5 win season mixed in there, maybe a 6. So certainly not up to the standards that we know historically Georgia should have been at and where they are today. So beating them was a big deal, but at the same time, it wasn't like beating a Tennessee or a Florida at that time, and those were the beasts of the East. So Georgia comes to town, very memorable game. It was an ESPN game. We beat them 23-14. Deuce Staley at tailback had a huge game, big 51-yard touchdown run that I will link whenever I post this. Just a beautiful run, and my season tickets were in the end zone, and I just remember sitting there. It was like he was running right at me in section 14, row 20. I felt like he was coming to bring me the football, and it was a beautiful thing. Nice to watch. Anthony Wright had some great moments in that game, too, and really showed some of the things that he could do. He he was one of these guys who was just a magician. When the pressure was on him, he had just had a knack for getting away and picking up big yards running with the football, which was something that we hadn't had since back in the early to mid 80s with Mike Hold. So he was a lot of fun to watch in that game. Just looking at some of the stats from the Georgia game, Deuce Staley had 30 carries for 170 yards and a touchdown. Wright had 224 yards passing and a touchdown. And actually, looking back at the Central Florida game, Staley had 187 yards rushing. Wright had 236 yards passing. So that's a pretty good start to the season for both of those guys. I would have to imagine Staley was somewhere near the tops in the country after two games into the season. The third game, you want to talk about a memorable night at Williams-Brice. Now, when T-Bone did 93, I think he talked about an East Carolina game that we played in a deluge, and I think he was mistaken. I think this is the game that he was thinking about. September 21st of 96, it rained at Williams-Brice like nothing I've ever seen before in my life. The water was pouring down the steps like a river, and it rained like that all night. The stands were practically empty by the second half. I remember at one point it rained so hard and the underneath the stands was just so packed, and it was hot and you couldn't breathe, and it was better to be out in the rain, actually. And East Carolina just grounded out against us, beat us 23-7. Tailback for East Carolina named Scott Harley ran for 291 yards on 41 carries. And it was just, you hearken back to the 95 season when we gave up so many yards to those three SEC running backs. And it's just like, oh no, this is not happening again. So a very disappointing loss after a strong, strong start to the season. Deuce Staley had another 100-yard game, 113 yards in that one. Following week, also in Columbia, we drop one to Mississippi State, 14-10, disappointing loss there. So we're 2-2. Staley with another 100-yard game, right at 100, 17 carries for 100 yards. Anthony Wright, we scored 10 points, but Anthony Wright had 352 yards passing. And Marcus Robinson had 189 yards receiving on five catches. I'm not sure how we didn't score more than 10 points in that game, but nonetheless, a loss for us there. Went to Auburn for the first time as a member of the SEC in 1996. Took us a while to get there. Folks, we haven't beaten Auburn in football since I think it's 1933. This is getting ridiculous. So 96, we played them really tough at their house. Wound up losing to them 28-24. Anthony Wright with 271 yards passing, Deuce Staley 99 yards rushing. The first game under 100 yards for Deuce, and he goes for 99. The following week at Lexington, Kentucky, we beat the Wildcats 25-14. And we beat Arkansas in Columbia the week after that, 23-17. Beat Vanderbilt 27-0. I'm going to get back to the Vanderbilt game in a second, but just some more Deuce Staley numbers. 32 carries, 193 yards against Kentucky. 21 carries, 105 yards against Arkansas. Now, the game against Vanderbilt, we win 27-0. That was another road trip for me and the G-Man and another friend of ours and our wives. So we go up to Nashville. And if you haven't been to Nashville for a football game, it's a great trip. Nashville is a great town. Great place to travel if you're thinking about doing an SEC road trip at some point. So at that point, Vandy was really, really bad. And we had seats, I think, in the upper deck, and there was nobody around us. I just remember being spread out. We had plenty of room to enjoy the football game. One bad thing that came out of that game was Deuce Staley sprained his ankle. And I remember seeing the replay thinking, I didn't understand how he didn't break his ankle. It wasn't one of the sprains where you roll it to the outside. It was actually to the inside. Sprained it really bad. Missed a couple of games, unfortunately. And he, I don't know how many yards he had in that game. I believe Boo Williams was the leading rusher with 110 yards in that game. So, wow, we've got some kind of rushing attack going. How about that? Anyway, no Deuce Staley the next 2 weeks. against Tennessee and Florida. And I'm telling you, in this stretch in the 90s, those were just two unbeatable teams. I mean, we, as Gamecock fans, we always have hope going in against these teams, but there was just no prayer. Tennessee had Peyton Manning. They beat us 31-14 in a game where they just kept enough distance from us the entire game. Scott Moritz was the leading rusher, 13 carries for 79 yards there. Anthony Wright had some pretty pedestrian numbers through the middle of the season after a really, really strong start. 166 yards on this day. Following week, we go down to Gainesville, Florida, and they just pounded us 52-25. They were the eventual national champions. Danny Werfel was the eventual Heisman Trophy winner. So, again, not a lot of a lot of hope when we headed down there. So that set us up again. We're 5-5, a record that we're very familiar with heading into the Clemson game at Clemson on November 23rd, 1996. A great game that, I tell you, it was hard to watch. It was great to watch until about the last 7 minutes of the fourth quarter. I'll also link a run by Troy Hambrick. Deuce Daly did come back, and I think he rushed for over 100 yards. I don't have that stat in front of me. And Troy Hambrick also rushed for 135. So we had a couple of guys over 100 in that game. So in the fourth quarter, Hambrick breaks a 75-yard touchdown run, which is just a beauty. A linebacker is running him down about the 10 or 15-yard line, and he does this little shift to the left to break away from the linebacker and get in the end zone. At that point, we're up 34-17. There's about 7 minutes left, and we are celebrating. Unfortunately, the celebrating didn't last very long because Nealon Green, quarterback for Clemson, brought the Tigers back. They just ate up chunks of yardage, scored, held us, ate up chunks of yardage, scored, held us, and they got the ball back. And on the last play of regulation, they had a chance to kick a field goal and tie it and send it into overtime, which would have been the first overtime in South Carolina history. Fortunately, the Clemson kicker missed it, and we breathed a huge sigh of relief. The game, I got to be honest with you, it was a huge win. It was a great win, but it didn't feel great at the time. It felt like we got away with one, because if that guy had knocked that field goal through, I just don't see any way we win that game in overtime. So nonetheless, any win over Clemson is a good win. Finished the season at 6-5. We did not get a bowl bid. I got to tell you, there have been a handful of times during this period where we have six wins and we're bowl eligible, but we either don't get a bid or we turn down a chance to go to a bowl. I think at one point in the Sparky Woods regime, we actually turned down a bowl. I think we just didn't get invited after the 96 season. So we do end the season on a winning note, but are disappointed we don't get into a bowl game. So after 94, winning a bowl game under Brad Scott, a disappointing 4-6-1 season in his second year, we come back with a winning record, win over Clemson. Once again, feeling good about the program a little bit, cautiously optimistic heading into 1997, and we'll find out what happened on the next edition of Buckshots.